وأنذرهم يوم الحسرة. Warn them of the day of regrets. Regret is one of the most painful emotions to experience. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I had done it like that. I wish I had studied more. I wish I had prayed more. I wish I had thought of Allah a little more. Because regrets make you feel that you just wasted your time and there's nothing you can do about it. It's not that after feeling that regret you can cancel out your actions. Allah says, warn them of the day of regrets. When the case has been decided. See, in this world we blithely say, oh, I don't care, as long as Allah forgives me and admits me into paradise, that's all I want. But on that day, when we see the magnificence of Jannatul Firdaus, we will all wish, we will all yearn that we had strived a little bit harder. Because the time for action is now, not then. Regrets won't avail us then. It won't do us any good saying, oh, I wish I had prayed tahajjud, and I wish I had fasted, and I wish I had studied the Quran, and I wish I had obeyed Allah more. That won't help us that day. Andhirhum yawm al-hasra. Warn them of the day of regrets. When the case has been decided, wahum fi ghafla. But right now, they're in a state of heedlessness, forgetfulness. Eat, drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Oh, in the morning I have my aerobics class, and in the afternoon I have my lunch, and in the evening my children and my husband are there, so I don't have time for Allah. Right now they're in a state of forgetfulness, just living their lives from day to day, from moment to moment, never caring about the hereafter, never caring about their deaths. And they do not believe. They don't have iman. No, but we have iman. But if our actions don't reflect that iman, then our iman is a mockery. And it won't be accepted by Allah. Inna nahnu narithul arda wa man 'alayha wa ilayna yurja'un. Why are we in a state of ghafla? What is it that stops us from obeying Allah? That in our heart of hearts, we really don't think we're going to die. Yes, we will die one day, but that'll be when we're old and we've done everything and we've done our hajj and we've read our prayers and we'll have pleased Allah by then. That's what we really think. Everyone else can die, but not me. Allah says, indeed we will inherit the earth. Your homes, your cars, your bank balances, all these things you adore so much, Allah is going to inherit them. Woman alayha, all those on it. Wa ilayna yurja'un, to us they shall be returned. Nobody is going to be, you know, just crumble into dust and that's it, end of story. No one's going to remain on this earth. No, we all have to go back to Allah. And when we go back to Allah, we will all be questioned. How did you spend your time? Can we answer that? Could we stand before Allah and tell Him confidently, fearlessly, this is how I spent my time worshipping you? We will be asked, how did you spend your wealth? Let's think about what we spent our money on. We will be asked, how did you spend your youth? What do we spend our youth on? Oh, I'm too young for the Quran. I'm too young to obey Allah. I'm too young for Salat. I'm not ready for it. When will we be ready? When we see the angel of death? Allah says, إِلَيْنَا يُرْجَعُونَ. They're going to be returned to us. No one's going to hang on over here forever. And He alone is Maliki يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Now after telling us the story of Yahya alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam, Allah tells us the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. Indeed, he was a man of truth and a prophet. Why does Allah mention his truth first? What truth was this? إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When his Lord told him, submit, he said, I have surrendered to the Lord of the worlds. And he didn't just say it, he acted upon it. He was asked to give up his father gave him a choice, worship Allah and leave me. And he left his father. Told to leave his wife and child in a barren valley, he obeyed Allah. Told to sacrifice his child that he was meeting after 12 odd years, and he obeyed Allah. قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When he said, I surrender to the Lord of the worlds, it wasn't just words, he acted upon it. So Allah says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا. He was a man of truth and a prophet. Now we too have made a promise to Allah. Every day we say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. What does La ilaha illallah mean? That we obey Allah. What does Muhammadur Rasulullah mean? That we obey Allah in the method of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the essence of the kalima. Allah says he was a man of truth and a prophet. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ, when he said to his father, we're afraid to tell anyone the truth. Oh, I can't tell my friend. My friend will be angry. And look at Ibrahim alayhi salam's courage. For his beloved Allah's sake, he's taking on his father. Now, not out of a spirit of rebellion or to put his father down. It's also love for his father. As we read about Yahya alayhi salam, hananan, he's sympathetic, he's tender-hearted. So again and again in the Quran, Allah tells us the different ways that Ibrahim alayhi salam used to make his people think. On one occasion, he smashed all the idols and left the axe hanging by the neck of the biggest idol to make people think, to make people realize, because he was concerned about them. So he said to his father, oh my father, he speaks with respect, doesn't talk down to him. Why do you worship that which hears not, sees not, and cannot help you in anything? Oh my father, indeed there has come to me of the knowledge, that which did not come to you. So follow me. أَهْدِكَ سِرَاطٌ سَوِيَّ, I will guide you to the straight path. We learn that in Islam, the age factor is irrelevant. Ibrahim alayhi salam is younger than his father. He's telling his father that follow me because I have been given knowledge. So even if someone younger than us has been given knowledge that we have not, we should not be biased or prejudiced or say, no, just because they're younger than me, I'm not going to take it from them. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is telling his father, please follow me. Allah's taught me some things which you don't know of. Ya abati la ta'bud ash-shaytan. Now look at the method of his da'wah. Of all the things he can say to his father, first he gently points at his father, that why are you calling to something that's not hearing you, that can't see, that can't help you? And then the essence of his teaching, la ta'bud ash-shaytan. Do not worship shaitan. Inna ash-shaytana kana lirrahmani asiya. Because shaitan has been a rebel against Ar-Rahman. Now this is the beauty of tabligh, that in one ayah he teaches him the core of Muslim belief, that if we obey shaitan, we are worshipping shaitan. Now this is something very important that we need to understand. We think, no, we're not Satan worshippers. We don't belong to any satanic cult. We believe in Allah. We worship Allah. And some of the time we sin and make mistakes, but Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Ibrahim alayhi salam is telling his father, La ta'bud ash-shaytan. What is worship? Obedience. When I hear the azan for Fajr, and I know I should get up, but I think to myself, I'm tired, and I'll wake up in the morning and read Qaza, I am in fact worshipping shaitan in my own nafs. Because Allah doesn't say, yes, read it Qaza in the morning. Allah says, when you hear the azan, get up and pray it. Now, I would never think that I'm worshipping shaitan just by that simple act of remaining asleep, but that's what I'm really doing. La ta'budu shaitan. Whenever we read about shaitan in the Quran, he fills us with repulsion and anger. That look at shaitan, and he's always trying to, you know, mess things up for us. Yet we don't analyze our actions so many times. That is what we're doing, in fact, worshipping shaitan. Why shouldn't we worship shaitan? What's the big deal in sinning a little, having a good time before you turn to Allah? Inna shaitana kana lirrahmani asiya. Shaitan disobeyed Ar-Rahman. Now Allah doesn't say disobeyed Allah, He says Ar-Rahman. Only someone who is really arrogant, only someone who is really sick would disobey Ar-Rahman. Because whatever Ar-Rahman tells us to do is for our own good. Now look at the link between the ayat. That the message is that if we are following shaitan, then we should not pretend that we love Allah. When people say, Allah knows how much I love Him, Allah is not going to ask me about something like that. What sort of hypocrisy is this, that we claim to love Allah and we are following His worst enemy? How would a parent feel if he discovers that his child is fraternizing with his worst enemy? Someone who's declared that I'm going to ruin this man, and then that man discovers that his own child is going to that enemy and listening to the enemy, betrayed. He'd probably disown the child. La ta'budu shaitan. Do not worship shaitan. Indeed, shaitan is a rebel against Ar-Rahman. Not just against Allah, Allah who is Ar-Rahman, who gives us every command for our own good. Oh my father, indeed I fear lest a torment from Ar-Rahman should overtake you. And that's a seeming paradox. We sin and we say Allah is Ar-Rahman. Allah is saying in the words of Ibrahim alayhi salam, O my father, indeed I fear lest a torment from Ar-Rahman should overtake you. When we sin, when we mock Allah's commands, then he who is Ar-Rahman can also become Al-Muntaqim, the Avenger. So that you become a companion of Shaitan. If Shaitan is our companion in this world, if satanic pursuits, and by satanic pursuits I mean all that Allah has forbidden, are our favorite hobbies in this world, then he is going to be our friend on that day as well. And where will he be? In hellfire. And all those who follow him will also be in hell. The father said, do you reject my God, O Ibrahim? The father takes it as an insult. If you do not stop this, I will indeed stone you. So get away from me safely. Now just imagine Ibrahim alayhi salam's agony. See, Allah is giving us visions of what it must have been like for the prophets. Maryam alayhi salam's trial. Now Allah mentions Ibrahim alayhi salam's trial. What trial could be worse for a son, for a loving son, than to have his father threaten to disown him? And the father saying, I'm going to kill you otherwise. Qala salamun alayka. He said, peace be on you. No fighting, no taunts, no, alright, you know, I'll see you in hellfire then. No, he says, peace be on you. I will ask forgiveness of my Lord for you. Innahu kana bi hafiya. Indeed, he is to me most gracious. Look at this. Must have been such a difficult time in Ibrahim alayhi salam's life. His father is threatening to kill him. His father is saying, I'm going to just expel you completely. What do we say when we're going through problems? Allah is really testing me. And my endurance is finishing. I've reached the end of my tether. Imagine his agony. But what does he say? That Allah has always been most gracious to me. This is Iman. As Allah tells us in a hadith Qudsi, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I am according to my slave's concept of me. Ibrahim alayhi salam is going through a time of great suffering. He loved his father. His father is threatening to kill him. But he's saying, not that Allah is testing me and Allah is really, you know, overdoing it. He's saying, Allah has always been most gracious to me. And he goes on to say, and I shall turn away from you and from those whom you call to besides Allah. He doesn't miss any chance for da'wah. And I shall call upon my Lord, wa ad'u rabbi. We're not prepared to give up one sin for Allah's sake. He's giving up his entire clan, his father for Allah's sake. Asa Allah akuna bi du'a'i rabbi shaqiyya. And I hope that I shall not be unfortunate in my dua to my Lord. So when he had turned away from them and from those whom they worshipped besides Allah, we gave him Ishaq and Yaqub. So Allah rewarded him. And each one of them we made a prophet. And we gave them of our mercy. And we granted them honor on the tongues. Wazkur fil kitabi Musa. And mentioned in the book Musa. Indeed he was chosen. And he was a messenger and a prophet. And we called him from the right side of the mount. And made him draw near to us for a talk with him. And we granted him his brother Harun, also a prophet, out of our mercy. Wazkur fil kitabi Ismail. And mention in the book Ismail. Indeed he was true to what he promised, and he was a messenger and a prophet. Now we know that Ismail alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam's older son. Do you know what Ismail means? It's a Hebrew name, and it means Allah has heard. And it's such a beautiful name, and it's so typical of Ibrahim alayhi salam's love for Allah, that he named his son Ismail, Allah has heard. Indeed, he was true to what he promised, and he was a messenger, a prophet. And he used to enjoin on his family and his people prayers. We think if we prayed ourselves, well, our family can look out for themselves. He used to enjoin on his family and his people prayers and zakah. وَكَانَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ مَرْضِيًّا. And his Lord was pleased with him. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِدْرِيسِ. And mentioned in the book Idris. Indeed, he was a man of truth and a prophet, and we raised him to a high station. Those were they to whom Allah bestowed his grace. From among the prophets of the offspring of Adam, and of those whom we carried with Nuh, and of the offspring of Ibrahim and Israel, and this was Yaqub alayhi salam, and from among those whom we guided and chose. Allah sums up the essence of these people. When the verses of Ar-Rahman were recited to them, they fell down prostrate and weeping. Have we ever shed a single tear upon hearing the Quran or reading the Quran? They fell down prostrate and weeping. Why were they weeping? They were prophets. They were forgiven all their sin. You know, a prophet cannot sin. All his mistakes are forgiven. Someone asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he'd been praying all night long and weeping, and he'd stood for so long that his feet were swollen, and they said, why do you pray to Allah for forgiveness? Why are you crying so much? Every mistake that you commit is forgiven. And he said, afala akunu abdan shakura? Should I not be a grateful slave? That's not just all it's about, that, oh, if I've been forgiven, then I don't need to weep before Allah, or I don't need to cry before Allah, or I don't need to talk to Allah because I'm doing so much for Islam. They used to fall down prostrate and weeping. Then they succeeded them, a posterity, who wasted their prayers. How did they waste prayers? Either by not reading them, when we don't read Salat at all, we're just lazy about it. Another way of wasting Salat is when we read some of our prayers and we don't read some. Some days I'll pray all 5 prayers, and some days I can't even be bothered to get up and pray 1 prayer. That's also an aspect of wasting Salat, because I'm treating Salat like a joke, that when my exams are coming up, I'll pray all my prayers, and the minute they're over, I don't need to pray anymore. And another way of wasting Salat is if we're praying, but we're not bothered about our wuzu, we're not bothered about our inner submission or our inner attentiveness to Allah, and we're looking here and there, and you know, we're just relieved when the Salat is over. That's another way of wasting Salat. What's Allah told us in the Quran? Hafizu ala salawat. Protect your prayers. What do we protect? That which we cherish, which we value. We protect our children, we protect our jewelry, we protect our clothes, we protect our money, our time. So in the same way, we're supposed to protect Salat, protect its timings, protect our inner attitude while we are praying, and our purity. So Allah says those who wasted Salat, why did they waste Salat? Because they were following their own desires, too busy having a good time to pray. فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. So they will be thrown into hell. Allah doesn't speak of Muslims or non-Muslims here. It's about people who are wasting Salat. Except those who repent and believe and do good deeds, such will enter paradise and they will not be wronged at all. Paradise which Ar-Rahman has promised to his slaves. Again and again in Surah Maryam we find Allah is calling himself Ar-Rahman. In the unseen, إِنَّهُ كَانَ وَعْدُهُ مَأْتِيًّا. Indeed his promise will come to pass. لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا إِلَّا سَلَامًا. They shall not hear therein any vain talk, any gossip, any slanders, any rubbish, anything that's trivial or unnecessary or a waste of time, but only peace, only that which is true and upright. And they will have therein their sustenance morning and afternoon. What do we talk about in this world? If our conversations revolve around love, we needn't expect Jannah on that day. Because every word we utter will either be for us or against us. Tilka al-Jannah, such is the paradise. Now right now the choice is ours. Which we shall give as an inheritance to those of our slaves? Man kana taqiyya, who are Allah conscious. And we angels do not descend except by the command of your Lord. To Him belongs what is before us and what is behind us and what is between those two. And your Lord is never forgetful. رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. Lord of the heavens and the earth, and all that is between them. فَاعْبُدْهُ. So worship Him. وَاصْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ. And be constant in His ibadah. In this month of Ramzan, we pray regularly. We read the Quran regularly. And we find it so easy to be good. It's not just about 1 month in the year. وَاسْتَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ. Be constant in His worship. Don't just open this Quran in this month. Don't just go to the mosque in this month. Be constant. The Prophet ﷺ once said, خَيْرُ الْأُمُورِ أَدْوَمُهُ وَإِنْ قَلَّ. The best deed is that which is the most constant, even if it's little. Even if we're reading 3 verses regularly every day of the Quran, that's better than we just reading it in Ramzan, or we just reading 1 sipara a month and in 1 ayah, and we think that's it, our duty is done. We need to have a constant contact with the Quran, a constant contact with Allah. هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ السَّمِيَّ. Why? Allah says, do you know any like Him? Are there any like Him? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. This glorious being, Malikul Muluk, the King of all kings, is calling us towards Him with so much love. How then can we not respond to His invitation? وَيَقُولُ الْإِنسَانُ But what does man think? When I am dead, shall I then be raised up alive? Endless disputes about resurrection and how it will take place and is there an azab in the grave or not? Does not man remember that we created him before while he was nothing? Do we remember what we were before we were born? So by your Lord, فَوَرَبِّكَ Surely we shall gather them all together and the devils with them. ثُمَّ لَنُحْضِرَنَّهُمْ حَوْلَ جَهَنَّمَ جِثِيًّا Then we shall bring them around hell on their knees. In other words, publicly disgraced, humiliated, dragged as if they are despicable criminals, which they are in Allah's eyes. ثُمَّ لَنَنْزِعَنَّ مِنْ كُلِّ شِيَاطٍ And that's not it. Then indeed we shall drag out from every sect all those who were worst in obstinate rebellion against Ar-Rahman. There will be degrees of punishment. And what do we find? إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ The hypocrites will be in the lowest level of the fire. Who are the hypocrites? Two kinds of hypocrites. Those who don't believe in Allah at all, and those who believe in Allah some of the time. I'll pray if I feel like it, but if I'm not in the mood, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. When everyone's getting up to pray, hey, I can pray too. But if no one's getting up to pray, I'll feel embarrassed. That's hypocrisy. Allah says, we shall drag out from every sect those who were worst in obstinate rebellion against Ar-Rahman, those who led people to destruction. Then indeed we know best those who are most worthy of being burnt therein. وَإِن مِّنكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا There is not one of you but will pass over it. This is with your Lord, حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًا A decree which must be accomplished. This is a very frightening ayah. What do we learn from this ayah? That we are all, good or bad, Muslim, non-Muslim, hypocrite, muttaqi. We all are going to pass over hell. This is with your Lord a decree that must be accomplished. We learn from a hadith the meaning of this ayah. That all the people who have ever been created or will be created have to pass over a bridge. Now that bridge leads over hell and it leads towards Jannah. So on one side you have the Maidan of Hashr, the plain of the Day of Judgment. On the other side you have Jannah, and in between is a bridge which is crossing over hell. Now the Prophet ﷺ told us that this bridge is finer than a hair. One hair. Just take one hair of yours. It's finer than one hair. Sharper than a sword. Some will pass at the speed of lightning. Some will pass with the speed of swift horses. Some will pass with the speed of wind. Some will pass with the speed of camels. See, the levels of speed are being reduced. There will be some people who are running, some who are walking. The last believers, and I don't mean those who came the last, I mean those whose iman was the weakest, whose level of obedience was the least, will be crawling. And the last believers will crawl across that bridge. And imagine, you know, like sometimes you see in movies when they're walking across a rickety bridge. Now imagine, this is reality, that Allah is saying this will happen. Imagine ourselves on that bridge. And we know that if we fall, one mistake and in we go. And there will be one who will crawl right till the end and then he'll fall inside. Now what does this mean? Why will people be crossing at different speeds? We find that our spiritual condition in this world is our physical condition in the hereafter. Some people race towards Allah. They learn something in the Quran and they can't wait to act upon it. Some people say, well, yes, I will obey Allah, but let me think about it. And they obey Allah, but after a day or so, or maybe after a year or so, if they have that much life left. And some people say, oh, Allah's not going to ask me about this, and they blithely disregard it. And some people just aren't even interested enough to come and listen. They're not even bothered enough to find out. So then we can think about it. What is our response to the Quran? When we hear Allah's command, do we think, yes, sami'na wa ata'na? Or do we say, well, you know, it's really difficult for me right now. I'm not really ready for it. Let me think about it. And if Allah wills, inshallah, one day I will do it. Because God forbid, we might just then be of those who are crawling along that bridge. In minkum illa wariduha. All of you have to cross that bridge. Now we need to pray to Allah that on that day we are passing on that bridge with the speed of electricity. No tension, no grief, just racing across it. But the only way we can do that is if we race towards Allah in this world. race towards forgiveness from your Lord and a Jannah whose width is as the width of the heavens and the earth. We need to race towards Allah. We need to be of the sabiqoon, those who are foremost, those who are the first, who want to do everything right now for Allah. ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Then we shall save those who are Allah conscious, and we shall leave the wrongdoers therein humble to their knees.
Allah keeps on mentioning their being humble to their knees, because in this world, man is arrogant. And man says, oh, I am angry with Allah, and I am not going to pray today. Allah says, on that day, you will be on your knees. Think about it. The choice is ours. And when our clear verses are recited to them, those who disbelieve say to those who believe, which of the two groups is best in position and gathering? The Quranic gatherings are too boring, and look at the sort of people who come there. It's much more exciting to go to a party instead. Allah says, this is nothing new. People before this used to object also. The Quraysh used to say, well, look at the sort of people who come to listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Poor, weak, slaves, oppressed. And look at our gatherings. They're much more flamboyant, much more exciting. There is much more happening there. Allah says, how many a generation have we destroyed before them, who are better in wealth, looks, and outward appearance? Say, whoever is in error, the Rahman will extend respite to him. Will they see that which they were promised? Either the torment or the awe. They will come to know who is worse in position and who is weaker in forces. وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اِهْتَدَوْ هُدَىٰ. And Allah increases in guidance those who walk aright. We need to be constantly striving to develop our level of guidance.
اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the straight path. Not that we relax and say, well, you know, I read my 5 prayers and I'm a good person and I really don't disobey Allah, so Allah's going to forgive me. That's not the vision of a mu'min. What is the vision of a mu'min? That when the verses of Ar-Rahman are recited to them, they don't just complacently sit back, they fall down weeping before Allah. And the good deeds that last are better with your Lord, for reward and better for return. Have you seen him who disbelieved in our verses and said, I shall certainly be given wealth and children? Has he known the unseen? Or has he taken a promise from Ar-Rahman? Kalla, سَنَكْتُبُ مَا يَقُولُ وَنَمُدُّ لَهُ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ مَدَّا. We shall record what he says, and we shall increase his torment. And we shall inherit from him all that he talks of, his houses, and his bank accounts, and his cars. All of this will be inherited by Allah. He has to die and go to the grave. And we don't take anything with us to the grave but our good deeds. وَيَأْتِينَ فَرْضًا. And he shall come to us alone. Have we prepared for that journey? Do we think about that journey? People say, oh, don't talk to me of death, it's so scary. So if we're not prepared to think about death, what are we going to do when death actually comes? We can't run away then. يَأْتِينَ فَرْضًا. He shall come to us alone. Now is the time to prepare for our death. And they have taken for worship gods besides Allah, that they might give them honor, power and glory. Nay, but they will deny their worship of them and become opponents to them. Isa alayhi salam, as we read in Surah Maida, will openly say, no, Allah didn't even know that these people were worshipping me. Do you not see that we have sent the devils against the disbelievers to push them to do evil? فَلَا تَعْجَلْ عَلَيْهِمْ. So make no haste against them. People say, well, if those who disbelieve are wrong, then why doesn't Allah punish them? Allah says, don't make any haste against them. We only count out to them a limited number of days. يَوْمَ نَحْشُرُ الْمُتَّقِينَ إِلَى الرَّحْمَنِ وَفْدًا. The day we shall gather the Allah conscious before Ar-Rahman like a delegation. Look at the words Allah's used. The honor Allah will grant the Allah conscious. They will be brought before Ar-Rahman with respect, with dignity. وَنَسُوقُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ وِرْضًا. And we shall drive the criminals to hell in a thirsty state. Allah says, Nasuq, we shall drag them to hell. And who will be dragged to hell? Just the non-Muslims? No, al-mujrimeen. Those who were criminals, those who were sinning, those who were disobeying Allah. None shall have the power of intercession, but such a one as has received permission from Ar-Rahman. You read this ayat and we think, no, the Prophet will intercede for us. Immediately Allah tells us, warns us that none shall be interceded for until Allah gives that permission. If we are sinning and disobeying Allah, then Allah will not allow the Prophet ﷺ to intercede for us. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا. And they say, the Most Gracious has begotten a son. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا. Indeed, you have brought forth a terrible thing. تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدًّا. Whereby the heavens are almost torn, and the earth is split asunder, and the mountains fall in ruins. That they ascribe a son to a Rahman. See Allah's anger at this statement. How many statements do we pass against Allah? I'm angry with Allah. Allah doesn't care. Allah doesn't love me. I've done so much for Allah. Still, He doesn't answer my prayers. And these people have done shirk here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how dare they say something of which they have no knowledge. مَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَانِ أَنْ يَتَّقِذَ وَلَدًا. It is not suitable for a Rahman that he should beget a son. It's beneath him. He's not a human being that we can judge him on a human level. إِن كُلُّ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِ الرَّحْمَانِ عَبْدًا. There is none in the heavens and the earth but comes to a Rahman as a slave. Angel, jinn, man, prophet, woman, all of us are ibadullah. Like it or not, admit it or not, that's what our true status is. And indeed, He knows each one of them. He has counted them a full counting. No lurking around in dark corners and thinking, oh good, Allah didn't see me. He has counted each one of them. He knows about all of them. وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. Each of them will come to Him alone on the Day of Judgment. What does materialism teach us? To worship that which we have before us. What is Allah telling us? This materialism will not help you. On that day you're coming alone. Without your wealth, without your inventions or your cars or your friends or your protector, alone. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. Indeed, those who believe and do good deeds, Ar-Rahman will bestow love for them. What love is this? We learn from a hadith narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Allah loves a person, He calls Jibrail saying, Allah loves so and so, O Jibrail, love him. Jibrail then loves him, and then Jibrail makes an announcement among the residents of the heavens, Allah loves so and so, therefore you should also love him. So all the residents of the heavens love him, and then he is granted the pleasure of the people of the earth. And sometimes you see that there are people who love Allah so much and they're like magnets drawing you towards them. And you want to sit in their company and you want to learn from them. This is this ayat. سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. Ar-Rahman will bestow love for them. فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ. So we have made this easy in your own tongue. This Quran is something which we can understand. Only that you may give good tidings to the Allah conscious and warn with it the most quarrelsome people. And how many a generation before them have we destroyed? هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَوْ تَسْمَعُ لَهُمْ رِكْسًا. Can you find a single one of them? Or even hear a whisper of them? What happens when someone dies? All contact is cut off. No news of them. We can't hear their voice again. We can't even see their face again. Allah says when someone goes, and especially people who have been destroyed, can you even hear a whisper coming from them?